válido de lunes a jueves. You
the Safari Park. You're killing me, Larry.
Larry, fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
Larry. Larry.
That's the whole meaning of life, isn't it? Trying to find a place for your stuff. That's all your house is. Your house is just a place for your stuff. If you didn't have so much goddamn stuff, you wouldn't need a house. That's all your house is. It's a pile of stuff with a cover on it. And when you leave your stuff, you gotta lock it up. Wouldn't want somebody to come by and take some of your stuff. They always take the good stuff. They don't bother with that crap you're saving. Ain't nobody interested in your fourth grade arithmetic papers. They're looking for the good stuff. That's all your house is. It's a place to keep your stuff while you go out and get more stuff. Now, sometimes you've got to move. You got to get a bigger house. Why? Too much stuff. You've got to move all your stuff. And maybe put some of your stuff in storage. Imagine that. There's a whole industry based on keeping an eye on your stuff.
Ah, the one and only George Carlin with his take on stuff. Of course, he was right. We are weighed down by stuff. And just about all that stuff is crap. I'm rounding the far turn on my escape from L.A. and trying to jettison as much crap as possible. He who travels light travels fast. So we had a yard sale. Some call them estate sales, but all the eye-grabbing yellow and red signs we bought to tack up around the neighborhood said yard sale. So yard sale it was. In the East, they call them tag sales. In the East, it's soda. Through much of the West, it's pop. Who knows why the geographic variance in terms? I've always wondered about that, huh? Pancakes or flapjacks, etc. Now, during the weekend endeavor, my loathing for the general public was rekindled. I also realized that almost all stuff, as Carlin called it, really is worthless crap destined for landfills. Like the shoulder-mounted, top-of-the-line RCA VCR camcorder I paid, I don't know, $1,400 to $1,500 for back in the early 90s. It sold for a whopping $10. An audiophile Sony audio component system, tuner, 5-CD changer, carousel, dual cassette deck, preamp with equalizer, surround sound, all the bells and whistles. $10 each or 4 for $35. Hell of a deal. If I recall, I paid Circuit City close to $2,000 for that stack of crap. Anybody remember Circuit City? Glassware and dishware. Well, that stuff's virtually worthless. Even the once highly coveted Waterford crystal is worth a small fraction of what people paid for it when they bombarded us with it for wedding gifts. I never understood that whole glassware, fine china, and silver thing. As long as the plate I'm eating off is clean, doesn't leak or wobble, what do I give a shit what it looks like or what its pattern is? It's covered with food anyway. Maybe you need to be female and born earlier in the last century. The only stuff worth buying is real estate, art, precious metals. Everything else is going to depreciate and fast. Going through a purge of stuff can be emotionally wrenching. You come across some trinket or souvenir your kids made you buy them when they were tots. Pow, they're not tots anymore. They're young adult women headed for college and grad school. How did that happen? But back to the yard sale. You have all this stuff. A solid wood dining table with two Leafs and fancy carved legs. Couches, chairs, beds, chests of drawers, a recliner, armoire. But you're downsizing. It's the reverse of Carlin's shtick. You need less stuff, not more. So you post on all the usual platforms, then drive around the neighborhood with a staple gun and a dozen day-glow signs stating the address, and Saturday, Sunday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. By Friday night, you've sorted out most of the crap you want to sell, but you dare not set it outside the night before. This is Los Angeles, not Mayberry. At 7 a.m. on Saturday, you start hauling all the crap outside, and incredibly, there are about a dozen fucking weirdos standing on the sidewalk, staring at you. They begin to move in a phalanx. One is creepier than the next. It's a cool and cloudy morning, yet one guy wears a huge sun hat with a chin strap snug so tight you wonder if he can breathe. Another oddball is in full camo, including Operation Desert Storm combat boots. A couple of them are masked because, as we all know, outdoor yard sales are COVID super spreader events. In fact, clouds of COVID spike proteins like to hover over tables full of old electronics and blenders and ice crushers. I tell the zombies, we're not ready. The sale starts in 2 hours. One chooch argues,
but I'm already here. I got a wedding to go to. Let me just have a look around.
None of these creeps are playing with a full deck. My tone shifts from pleasant to somewhat hostile. Couple guys leave in a snit. Incredibly, several of them wait in their cars for 2 fucking hours. One of the things that has always bugged me about LA is, even though it's a metropolis, it's home to a huge amount of people with a hoople mentality. People who want to discuss business over breakfast. Fuck that noise. Or have cocktails at 4:30 in the afternoon because they like to eat dinner at 5. They keep farmers' hours. But this isn't Kansas. If you throw a party in LA, you better make the invitation for an hour later than you really want. If you say 7:30, it's guaranteed someone will ring your bell at 6:30. What the fuck are they thinking? That if they arrive early, they'll get more food and booze? That early birds get brownie points and a gold star on their homework? It's bizarre. That shit never, ever happened in New York, where there was an unwritten rule that you never arrive for a party on time because everyone knows the host is scrambling to set up things and always needs a little breathing room. So you arrive fashionably late, which in point of fact is not at all rude, but thoughtful and polite. But then again, there's a very different mentality on the West Coast in every way. I know nothing about East versus West Coast rap, but in the realm of comedy, the styles of East versus West are polar opposites. The New York area produced some of the funniest comics ever, huh? Eddie Murphy, The Dice Man, Dangerfield, Carlin, Jeselnik, Maniscalco, Bill Burr, Bobby Slayton, and Chris Rock. L.A. gave us Pauly Shore. And predating him, the two unfunniest assholes ever to appear on television, the Smothers Brothers. To laugh at them, you literally had to be an imbecile. But back to the yard sale. You reach a point in life where you can spot an asshole from far away. You know they're assholes before they say a word. It's the way they dress, carry themselves. Hell, maybe it's more than that. For millennia, so-called society has encouraged us to suppress or ignore our natural instincts. We're the only creatures that do this. Why? Because society says,
you can't judge a book by its cover.
Really? Jeffrey Dahmer's Dust Jacket said quite clearly, I'm a psycho, and if you come home with me, I'm going to roofie you, strap you to a chair, drill a hole in the top of your head with a Black & Decker, and then pour Drano in, making you my sex zombie. And yes, he did exactly that. Who could not see that? His victims probably did, but they didn't want to hurt his feelings. One yard sale shopper creep was wearing a ball cap that said, duck my sick. He bought a piece of crap art somebody once gave us. It was hideous. I had thrown it in a closet and forgotten it for years, so I hung a price tag on it, $10. The duck my sick guy leaps on it like a roach on a cookie, hands me the money, and I tell him to enjoy his art as I look away and roll my eyes. Then he says, sotto voce,
Got any outdoor equipment?
And I say, huh? And he says, you know, guns. I shake my head no, and I think to myself, wow, the feds really have nothing to do. As I watched him walk away, I thought he would look perfect in a blue windbreaker with big yellow letters on it. A little later, some ugly couple drove up in a Tesla with a kid around age 5. I got a bad vibe off all 3 of them. The kid proceeds to trample the goods on the lawn like it's his personal sandbox, and douchebag mom and dad don't say a word. But then the old man spies something on a table and yells,
hey, Mars, look at this.
Mars? Surely I'd heard him incorrectly. Maybe he's named Morris and Daddy slurred it. But then Muffin Top Mommy echoes, Daddy.
Mars, do you like this snow globe?
Holy shit. They named their kid after the Roman god of war. Or maybe a candy bar. But stuff like that is common in L.A. where everybody thinks they're cute. Therefore, they think their kids are gods. One day in Malibu, I watched some guy holler to his kids,
Zeus, Apollo, time to go.
Those were the names of the Dobermans that guarded the estate where Magnum P.I. lived. These people can't even be original. Assholes can be found everywhere in America, but Los Angeles has the highest concentration of any place I've ever been. And I've visited, I don't know, 43, 44 states. Why is this? Well, I no longer care to ponder it. I'll be out of here very soon. I will miss the weather, some of the scenery, and just a few people. They know who they are. Liftoffs in a couple of weeks. I'm really looking forward to another road trip. In the meantime, I continue to fill boxes with as little crap as possible, but somehow, there's always more. Maybe it's figured out how to reproduce. But in the end, it is almost all crap. The only objects I really care about are my guitars, piano, and the gear I need to deliver a show to you every week. There's a certain similarity to those things, I suppose. The instruments and devices are designed to facilitate creativity and communication. That's always when I'm happiest, whether fronting a band with my old pal Pontiac Pete or talking with you right now. Seems I just can't stay away from a hot mic. People have asked me how I got into music, and it was a little unusual. When I was 3 or 4, my family moved from an apartment into an old and tiny house in Queens. How tiny? Well, how about 3 bedrooms, a bath, living and dining room in 1,100 expansive feet? It was 11 feet wide. It was so old, when my father had plumbing repairs done, they discovered some of the piping was made of clay. There was a postage stamp backyard and an old garage with barn doors and a corrugated metal roof. In the back of that garage, I discovered a tall Victrola phonograph, at least a foot taller than I. It was covered in dust. The speaker was behind 2 doors as well as a cubby that held several old 78 RPM records. Now, in the house was Dad's modern turntable, but this antique fascinated me. I stood on a cinder block, dusted it off, then figured out how to work it. The needle in the tone arm was actually a nail. I put a record on the green felt turntable. I could not read yet, so I had no idea what the label said. I lowered the tone arm to the first groove and turned the crank. Incredibly, it began to spin. I was thrilled. This is what I heard. Every day for months, even in the dead of winter, I'd stand in that garage and not just listen to those old records, I learned every word, the phrasing, the way Jolson controlled his breath. I was probably the only toddler on earth who could do a spot-on Al Jolson impression. Weird, I know. There were other ancient Jolson tunes, Waiting on the Robert E. Lee, Mammy. I learned them all. There was a fantastic rendition of Dry Bones with an array of sound effects, all of which I learned to vocalize. Why am I telling you this? I'm not sure. But that move to that little house upset me. So much that one night the old man was awakened by a noise and luckily went downstairs to investigate. He found the front door wide open and me trotting down the road in my pajamas, headed back to the apartment. I wanted to go home. Hey, I gotta pack some more crap and fill another dumpster. Thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Stop by thatlarryshow.com for hundreds more episodes, and while you're there, you can support the show by clicking the Patreon or PayPal buttons, or there's a P.O. Box address if you prefer. I'll see you next Wednesday, or thereabouts. And until that time, take no shit. For a bluebird, and listening for its song.